Paul stood up in the meeting and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world and judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him, Jesus, from the dead." It's a lovely piece of the Bible, a lovely simple piece. I guess that we would have been a little bit taken aback if we were put in the position of going where Paul went. And he must have been a man of incredible courage, mustn't he, to stand up in that situation and begin to share as he did. Today, I'm going to talk about worship. What is it? What is it? Well, it comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word, though I may not pronounce it quite perfectly, is proskuneo. Proskuneo. And that is actually two words, which I'll come to in just a moment. But there's a lot of people doing proskuneo this morning. I see a lot of empty seats. And there's a lot of proskuneo, Bible class. This gentleman on the front, Dr. Ronald, wants the Bible class. So he will stand, you will follow, and that way. Yes, yes? No? Are we away? Go. It was a little bit like Brexit then. A lot of negotiation and very little action. Are we good? There's a lot of proskuneo going on at the moment because people have seen the sun and they said, "Who do I really worship? Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, or a day off in the countryside?" The day off in the countryside won. Who do I really worship? Jesus, the Son of God, or putting on something that will be nice for me, nice for my family, nice, 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 and the nice one. And so it's the world in which you are living. It's the world which has made choices and is making choices. And it makes me very sad. And it makes me very anxious. And it worries the living daylights out of me that people are so stupid, so ignorant, so devoid of God sensitivity. It's like being married and never sleeping in the bed with your own wife. What do you think would happen? "Oh, I just fancy being down with the lads playing football. Oh, I just fancy going to the pub and not coming home. Oh, I just fancied taking a bike ride, or..." And I put it above you.
I put it above you.
Now, I know that the sermon this morning is not intended to make anyone here feel guilty. But just in case it's set shining next Sunday and you've got plans, I hope you'll change them. And I hope you'll change every plan on every Sunday. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't, you'll stand before Almighty God one day and he'll say, "Keep my day holy." What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? So I'm on your side. I don't want you to get embarrassed one day standing before God and him say to you, "What did you do with my day?" So you'll say, "Well, because Pastor Paul stood up one Sunday, he didn't stand up very often. And when he did, we knew he was going to nag at us. But he stood up and he said, the Sabbath day is a holy day. Don't mess with God. The Sabbath day is a holy day. Don't put anything on that is not God-centered, God-glorifying, God-honoring, and God-serving. Because it's his day. And if you can't get that right, I doubt if you get the rest of the Ten Commandments right either. So please, serve the Lord with all your heart, all your strength, and don't forget to keep the Sabbath day holy. Could somebody say amen to that? You can say amen even if you don't mean it, because you'll mean it by the end of the sermon. Proscunio. Proscunio. Well, every one of you are involved in worship every single day. You may not understand it, and you may need to ask, who do I worship, and what do I worship? Or even, why do I worship? Well, the word worship implies the following. It is an act of homage or reverence. It is something that you say is up there. It's special. It's an act of homage or reverence. In fact, it is number one, or should be. So when you worship things, you've got to be really careful. Otherwise, you'll be worshiping and putting number one to things that shouldn't be there. Let's look at the word. It comes from two words, pros, which means towards, and then kunio, which means to kiss. Towards, to come towards, and to kiss. And the word towards there means I want to come. It isn't you've got to, it's from the emotion. It is not an intelligent act, it is an emotion. It's something that draws out. I want to come. I want to come from where I am. I want to come to somebody or something. I want to take their hand and I want to kiss it. Do you get it? And you're all doing that now, aren't you? Hard luck. You see, it's simple, but it is a long step. And a second, why didn't they make four? It'd be a lot easier for some of us. You sometimes have to put an effort into it. Do you hear me? You have to put an effort into it. And when you're young and life is so fast and busy, to stop, to think, and to say, do I want to? Yes, I do. Will I put the effort in there? Yes, I will. Is this something or someone more important than that something or that someone? Yes, he is. It's coming towards. It's an act of will. It's something that you did this morning. Bless you for being here. You did it this morning. You get 10 out of 10. Give yourselves a round of applause. Some of you are gripping your Bible because it says in the Bible, thou shalt not applaud. It just doesn't, actually. You can, bless you, take some credit because you made a choice this morning, a good choice, a wise choice. So you are halfway there. You're on the were. You're on the were, the pros, the towards. Now, can we help you to get to the cuneo? Because the cuneo is where you stop and you want to and you do. It's the kiss. Now, I'm not going to turn around to you, and some of you young people might enjoy it, but you're not going to get the chance. I'm not going to say kiss the person at the side of you. I said, I'm not going to do it. But that is the intimate. It's the connection. It's where the two things connect. The one that loves and the one that's loved connect. And the kiss connects them because the kiss is the most sensitive and most beautiful and the most intimate immediate connector. And if I came and kissed your hand this morning, some of you would be absolutely embarrassed. But it would be a simple statement, I want to show you what I think of you, what I feel about you, and I'm coming to you. Now, that's what we did at communion, in a way, but not perhaps as much as we should do, because we need to apply our intelligence. Okay, so let's just state two things before we move on. Desire drives you towards. Does anybody know about that? You've never done any courting then, have you? Desire drives you towards, but then devotion, love, drives you to kiss. Do any of you remember your first kiss? Do you? Bah, you had good memories. You were kissed the day you were born. But that was devotion being poured upon you. A few years later, you started doing the kissing. That's when you showed devotion, love to others. Desire drags you like a magnet. Devotion causes you to express something on arrival. I hope you're getting the point. Godly worship, that's what we're talking about this morning, is the desire to come towards or to come closer to God and to express our love with our lips. Now, you ain't going to get the chance to kiss the hand of God today, I hope. Well, please, would you wait till you get home? No corpses in church. Do you get what I'm saying here? You're not going to kiss the hand of God. But your lips can express, your lips can do something as a connector between you and God. Isn't that exciting? Because you can speak to God today. You can say to him something that bubbles from the truth within you. I hope it's the truth. It bubbles from the, I love you. I love you. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. And love bubbling out and love overflowing is so incredibly special, so incredibly important, because it actually defines who you are. So godly worship is the desire to come towards, to come closer to God, to express your love, and to do it with your lips. But it is possible to worship anything. You can come towards anything. You can get closer to anything. You can express your lips about to or even on anything. Though I suggest that the first one I've got on my list, I love my car, is not the best place to put your lips, especially on a hot day. I love him. I love her. I love money. And the love of money is, don't bother. But if your love is something taking you that way, or that way, or that way, and not that way, then your priorities need to be addressed. And I want to show you that when you get it right that way, everything else comes right. Your love life goes right. Your family life goes right. Your domestic life goes right. Your parenting life goes right. Your friendship lives in school and college go right. It's getting that right that makes everything else right. And if you worship him, you will find that he will allow a blessing to flow out between you and that which you long for. We all want health. We all want a reasonable standard of living. We all want and long for a happy home and a happy marriage and a happy life. But you've got to get that right first. That's why the Bible says that you're going to put the Lord your God before everyone and everything. And only when you put the Lord your God before everything and everyone and get it right on a consistent level, and you don't treat God as you treat your friends, pick them up and drop them. You pick up God? No, you don't. He picks you up, but the moment he picks you up, don't you jump out of his hand. That's a very foolish thing to do. Keep walking with him, but keep walking in the hollow of his hand. You can love other things. It says in Revelation 13 that people worshipped Satan. It says in Revelation 13, 15, and 14, 11 that those that worship Satan also worship the beast, which was the revelation of Satan within this world. It was the beast. But I want to say to you that sometimes your television can become the beast. It's true. There's more rubbish on your television than there is good, isn't there? There's more depression than lift. And every time that you hear the news, you think, well, that just adds a bit more to the depression balance. Yes? But there are things in your life which you can make a god. You can make anything and everything a god, whether it be your job, your money, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, whether it be your house, your garden, your allotment, your car, your motorbike, your bike, your sport, your activities, your relationships and friendships general. All of these things can become the life-consuming, all-important. And he has no place. He has no place. He is excluded. Could you ever think of it being right that I, a Christian, should live my life in such a way as to put an exclusion order on God? Yet some of you here this morning, you might be sitting in this very church and not actually connecting with what's being said. I sometimes watch people on their mobile phones and wonder whether they're doing Sudoku, reading the Bible, or whether they're listening. Well, can I say, if you've got a phone, turn it to record and then put the phone in your pocket. It won't distract you and you'll be able to get it all again this afternoon and when you go to bed tonight. And when you get up in the morning, and when you have your lunch tomorrow, because you so want to hear it again, don't you? You see, your life, if I may be honest, and my life very often too, is out of balance. It's wrong. And I wag my finger and say, that's my final word on the subject. And my family know that sometimes I use that word a bit too much. That's final. I used to say that with the children. When they were saying, can I, can I? No, and that's final. I'm saying to you that there has to be a point where we say, no, Satan's been leading me by the nose and now it's no, and that's final. I want to get it right with him. Will you get it right with God? This church will be packed to the doors, I'll tell you that for nothing. You get it right with him and your home will be transformed by his power. You get it right with him and you will have a life worth living, not a life that's a mess and a shambles. You get it right with him, and you one day will stand before him with joy in your heart, not sorrow in your soul. Is anybody on the same page as me, or have you all shut up and gone home already? Let's carry on. I'm due to finish by 3, I've been told, so. You've got to get your love going in the right direction. And Acts 7:43, you have lifted up your idols to worship. And I just want to say and finish on this particular point before moving on. Think of all the things which are really important in your life and say, would I put that in front of Jesus? And if you would, can I say, when you go home, get it sorted. Get it sorted. Write your list and put Jesus at the top and then start working downwards. Would you do that? Our first thought then, because we haven't got to the first thought yet. Aren't you encouraged? Listen, timers on ovens are not important. This is. I'm joking. You'll be home soon. In Acts 17:23, the unknown God. We are made, every one of us, in the image of God. You are, I am, we are made in the image of God. And just as Jesus, when on earth, worshipped the Father, So in us all, there is a part of us, which seeks to worship, to exalt, to lift up. Unfortunately, in some folk, it's lifting up self. In others, it's lifting up atheism. In others, it's lifting up politics. In others, it's lifting up wealth. In others, it's lifting up self-gratification. In others, it's lifting up people. In some, it's lifting up possessions. And sadly, for some, it's lifting up position or power. Everyone who worships anything on that list is worshiping a satanic red herring. It's a lie of the devil, and they lead to hell. If you make anything the object of your worship, your life, your goal, your living, and it is not the true will of God, you are living a lie, you're serving the purposes of the devil, and you say, but I'm in church. Well, don't you think the devil came to church this morning? Of course he's here. The devil's in this building right now. He wanted to hear Paul Epton's sermon. He wants to know what I'm up to, because Satan doesn't want me to be here this morning. He'd like me to be anywhere, but not here. He'd like you to be listening to anyone, but not listening to the word of God. So you have got a tremendous choice here. You can give Satan a kick in the teeth. Anybody wants to say amen to that one? Because you couldn't just do a little bit more than listening. You can actually say, it's time for me to make God number one. Number one over my Sundays. Number one over my finance. Number one over my marriage. Number one over my family. Number one over today. Number one over my future. He, Jesus, will be my number one. Come on, let's do this. Quickly then, into the second thought. You are what you worship. You are what you worship. When I was a lot younger, my wife and I did caravanning. You know, we were one of those people that would travel up the road at a wonderful speed and hold up about 1,000 cars. Do you know what I mean? Bikes went faster, and I'm not talking about motorbikes. We would plod along. We would enjoy our holiday. And you know, when it got to the time for holidays, you would find me out there. I saw a lot of the shorts up here this morning. I should have put shorts for preaching. If I was on the platform at the same time, I'd have been the old man out, wouldn't I? But you would see me, shorts on, old T-shirt, and I was out there. Flash, liquid, wash the caravan, inside and out. Then wax. I have to admit it only happened once a year. But wax and polish. And the windows. Oh, man. And then stand back and go, oh, didn't you do a good job? Yeah. Looks as good as new. Check the tires. Grease everything. Get the water in. Change the gas. Man, I'm good. And then you give it a little hug. Well, it's 5.5 meters and twin axle, so it was, you know, a bit hard to hug. But boy, did I love my caravan. I forgot. The awning. Get the awning out on the lawn, make sure it's all there, all the poles, everything else. Now, that would have been a step above worship. It never happened. But when we got there and the awning was up and it looked good, I always said a little hallelujah. Hallelujah because we got there. Hallelujah because the awning went up. And hallelujah because it was finished for the next couple of weeks. Some people on the caravan site, they would start conversations. Have you heard them? You've not been on the caravan site much. No. Well, I'll explain it. Caravans, you see, they possess you. Right. What you got? Oh, I've got a Swift. Is it your first one? Oh, no, it's my fourth. Is it single axle or twin? Twin axle. Does it have AC? Oh, yes. Gas central heating? Yes, gas central heating. Is it optional or dual, you know, electric? It's optional. Gas, electric, no problem. Flush toilet.
You can connect it to the sewer. Water, you don't bother with that. You can just connect the water. It's a Swift. It's good. What you got? Oh, I've got an Aldis. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. But I love my Aldis. I'm sure you do. But if you had a Swift, now there's a caravan. You're not going to buy one, are you? No. I have to say to you that our caravan ended up on a mission field somewhere in Europe. Bottom line, they were so full of that. And how many caravan club meetings have you been to this year? One I overheard said, 13. 13? The man wasn't worshipping, he was addicted and worshipping. 13. 13 conversations like that, repeated week after. I have got a Swift. I've got an Aldis. Oh, you should get a Swift. And so these conversations went on. You see, people can be so obsessed in worshipping their caravan, they'll talk about it a lot more than they do with Jesus. You'll hear a lot more about a Harley Davidson from a Harley Davidson owner than about Jesus. You'll hear an awful lot about Ronaldo not scoring in the World Cup than you will about Jesus. You will hear a lot more about a gentleman from Argentina not scoring in the World Cup. Huh? But not so much about Jesus. Because it's so easy to talk about the things we really love. Football. Caravans. Cars. Shoes. I think every woman in the world worships shoes. Am I wrong? Perhaps so. But I have a feeling that there's an awful lot in the club. Huh? Oh, they're lovely shoes. Where'd you get those from? Oh, were they expensive? Oh, that's cheap. Oh, I might go there. Have they got one in Chester? I wish they'd got one in Birkenhead. They're closing everything down in Birkenhead. Please, Lord, open them up again. Do you know what I'm saying? We find ourselves conversing about anything and everything. But when did you last hear people say, oh, do you know, I had a dream about Jesus last night. It was fantastic. He is so amazing. Do you know, when I saw those hands, I just couldn't help but weep. I was weeping in my dream. When I saw him and his eyes turned to me, do you know they're a pale blue? They're gorgeous. They're fantastic. And when I saw him, I tell you what, I fell in love all over again. He is fantastic. Got a lovely beard, lovely hair, white as snow. Only 33 and a half and white. He must have loved us a lot. Do you know, he's fantastic. And, oh, man, handsome. Handsome does not do it justice. His face was battered. His face was bruised. His face was broken. But out of those eyes, love. Love was pouring like a river. I tell you what, I just felt something. I couldn't help myself. I was pros. I was pros. I was drawn towards. You'll find the same pros actually at the beginning of another word called prostration. When you lay before all, surrender, pros, towards. And then I was Cunha. I just wanted to kiss his hand and to say thank you, thank you. But then something amazing happened. Before I could say a word in my dream, he said to me, thank you. He thanked me. I said, why? Thank you for saying what you said in school. Thank you for what you said to your neighbor. Thank you for what you said to that person you work with. Thank you for what you said to that customer. Thank you. Because you, when that person screamed out blasphemy, said, hey, hold on a minute. He's my best friend. Don't do that. No need. Don't do that. My best friend. Are you with me? You see, it's possible and we do it. We make, what does it say here? Anything and everything our idol. Our idol. And we worship that idol.
And God says to us, don't do it, because you are what you worship. You are a caravan. You say, I don't look like a caravan. But it's become the priority of your life. You are that car. You are the motorbike. You are wanting to, with all that's in you, you're wanting to get to the next Harley Davidson club supporters, connectors, owners, gathering. Oh God, deliver us from getting it wrong so simply and help us to start getting it right continually. It is time for we who love Jesus to lift him high in our lives, high above everything, high above everyone. You know, when Jesus is number one in our love and worship, our marriages are stronger. Our homes, when filled with him, are filled with peace. Even trials and troubles are put in their place. And we find our lives filled with divine provision and heaven-sent guidance. You see, passions pass, health fades, age comes, and our grip on this world loosens. You are what you worship. And if you worship this world, your worship will fade as all things of this world fade. Except he who loves God and sees through his eyes, well, he sees heaven. She sees heaven, heaven's door. And that heaven's door is growing brighter. And all we have fully and truly surrendered in worship to him begins to shine. Hope shines. Faith shines. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. He's going to make your life work out. Right. He's going to make your life worthwhile. Great. He is going to make you a connector of love, because as you come to him, you'll have something to take to them. As you kiss him, you will find your lips overflow with words of help, love, encouragement, and beauty. And the people around you will know that you are doing something which is way out of your ability. In fact, you're going to become a donkey. You're going to become a donkey. Is that okay? You see, Balaam rode a donkey. A donkey? And Balaam kept on getting it wrong. But the donkey, a nothing, saw the angel of the Lord stood in the way three times. And on the third time, the donkey, a nothing, turned round to Balaam and said, why do you keep on beating me? Can't you see? The world may see you as nothing, but when Jesus is inside you, you can be the salvation of the world. The world may see you as a nobody, but when Jesus is inside you, he says you are the somebody in that situation to transform that home, that life, that place, and something good's going to happen, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So come on, donkeys, join me. Well, kick the devil, because at least we know donkeys can do that. And we're going to speak out the word of the Lord. Come on. All those in favor of joining the donkey club. No, perhaps not. As I close, I want to ask you to renew that place, that altar of love and worship. Because I know this morning God is calling us to restoration of worship. And it starts right here, right now. Every one of you leaving this church this morning can become an absolutely brand new, amazing person doing brand new, amazing things. You say, it's just words. No, it isn't. If it's just words, Jesus is dead. And I'm not a Christian of 65 years standing. Because 65 years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart. 66 years ago, on September the 2nd. And I'm never ashamed of telling people that. I do every chance I can get just to show that a 56-year-old man had a lot of pre-life. You know, God wants to do something special with you. But he wants to do something special with you, but first he wants to do something special in you. Because it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It's not up here, it's in here. If you love Jesus, you will destroy the works of the devil, because that's why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8. He came to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus is in you, you become a devil destroyer, a devil's work destroyer. You become someone amazing. That's what you're here for. You're here to make a difference. Does anybody get just a bit excited about that? So when you leave this place this morning, you can say, I am changed. And I'm going to worship the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will love my neighbor as myself. These are the words of Jesus. Let's come. I seem to have missed out John 14 somewhere. Where did I miss that? Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, I've missed 2 points, but you'll survive, won't you? Let's go back to the final ones. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And it's verse 12. This is the very start of this renewing. And the psalmist says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When I read this, I thought, oh, I've got that wrong. I'll read a few more versions. Because I thought it should be, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So I was looking. Nope. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be right grand and clever. And I'm going to go back to the Hebrew, and I'm going to have a little look. And have a little look and see. Do you know? If you read any accurate translation, it all says your salvation. So I'm sitting and saying, hey, but it's my salvation. God says, it isn't. You receive my salvation. It's me. My gift to you. It's my salvation given to you. And you live in that. So it's not something you say, it's mine. It's something you say, it's his, therefore I am in him, and it therefore is mine. Because in him I live and move and have my being. I live Jesus. I live in Jesus. I live God. I am in God. I live the Holy Spirit. I am in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am going to say the verse again, and this time I'm going to say it just as it is, because it is right. And it says here, this is the start point, restore. Oh, what does that mean? It means things aren't as good as they should be. Let's get them good like they should be. Does anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. Things aren't as good as they should be. I want to get them as good as they should be. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So there are three things there. One, it's restoration. Second, it's his salvation shared and given to me and that which transforms my life. But then there is a granting of a willing spirit to sustain me. In other words, once I've got it, I want to live in it every day, every day, every day, every day. Number two, same psalm, but verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. All those who've got an absolutely wonderfully pure heart, put your hand up. No, don't. Stand on your seat and then just float up to the ceiling. You see, we're not perfect. We're not pure. We're not that amazing, incredible that we would love to be. But it isn't a problem, because Jesus is on your side. He wants to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Somebody say hallelujah. He wants to give you a tomorrow better than your yesterday. He wants to give you a future with hope. Isn't that great? Because there's no point in hoping the past will change. It ain't going to happen. But the future can be absolutely amazing. Absolutely fantastic. So verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Oh God, change me. And now to my favorite book in the Bible. My favorite book. I read this book every day from beginning to end. It is absolutely the most amazing book in the Bible. Yes, I sometimes read it 20 times in a day. And sometimes I tell big porkies. It is my least read book in the Bible. And it's called Lamentations. It was written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And it's as miserable as you can get. If ever I'm feeling depressed, I'll read it simply to make me sure that there's somebody more depressed than me. But then there are verses in there which are phenomenal. So would you join me in just reading Lamentations? Wow! I think that's about the fourth time I've mentioned it in 100 years. Lamentations chapter 5, verses 21, 22. It's the end of the book. You have to put it right somewhere. Don't read verse 20. It's a boring and it's a sad one. It says, why do you always forget us? Don't read that one. He hasn't forgotten you. Verse 21. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. And he's not. He's not. God is not angry with you. He may be angry with the world in which you live. He may be angry with a lot of things that are putting you under pressure and stopping you from loving him and serving him. He may be angry with some of the idiots that make bad decisions at various levels in our country, in our nation, in our world. He may be angry at those who do chemical bombs and let children die. He may be angry at a million and one things, I'm sure he is, but he's not angry at you. But here in Lamentations, this verse is hidden there, and it says, restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. And when I read this and sat listening to it, it was just beautiful. It was fabulous. Do you ever go to meet somebody, and they say, come and have a coffee, and you go and have a coffee, and you would never say no to that cup of coffee, because when you go, they always make you feel better. Do you know anybody like that? No, I don't either. You'll have to invite me sometime. But if you have somebody that is that sort of person, yeah, you go to them because they impart something good to you. And that can be your husband or your wife. It can be your children or your parents. It can be a good friend. But this is what God says. No matter what friends you've got, come to me. And Lamentations, Jeremiah says, oh God, restore us to yourself. Bring us to your heart. Let's have a cup of tea together. Let's have a cup of coffee together. Because I know that when I've spent a bit of time with you, when I have spent some time with you, then I may return. You are what you worship. You spend time with God, you come away with God in your heart. You spend time with Jesus, you come away with Jesus in your heart. You spend time talking in tongues and in the Spirit, and you come away with the Spirit in your heart. And when God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, is inside you, you are changed. Suddenly you become a different person. There's an excitement in your soul, an enthusiasm in your being. And you can say, as it says in Philippians, yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so it is here, hidden away, the back of this book. Come to God. And when you leave him, you'll carry God in your soul. And the last one I want to just share with you is 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 4. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 to 18. Just listen to these words. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God wants you to see him in all his greatness and in all his glory. And now, just as I close for the third time, and there's only more two more closures after this one, so you're getting there. If you've got your phones on for record, record what I'm going to say now. If you haven't, get them out and tap down these as fast as you can. I'm going to give you the seven things that worship is. One, worship is a lifestyle of putting Jesus first. Two, worship is life-changing for you and for you as you become more and more like the one you worship. Three, worship is life-enhancing. He makes all things new. Worship, number four, lifts your eyes to heaven. Five, worship opens your eyes to your world and the needs and the hurt and the pain of this world that God has put you here to be the answer to. Six, worship brings your heart to his love. Worship, coming forward, to kiss, brings you to his heart, to his love, so your heart is changed. Worship brings your heart to his love. Finally here, worship breaks your heart to become a river of love. It's not who you are, it's how much of you give away. It's not what you are, it's how much of what you are you give away. It's not who you serve, it's what you give away of who you serve that determines your relationship with who you serve and shows truly who you serve. So if you serve the Lord your God, you will be a river pouring that out into the world. I'd like you to quickly lock into your heart two more verses or two more pieces of scripture. The first is Psalm 29, verses 1, 10, and 11. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I pray that these things that you are hearing this morning will somehow connect into your heart, into your soul, and that you will find something not only to connect with, but that will change your thinking, your life, and the way you move forward. So, let's come back to Jesus. Let's come back to the place of worship. Let's come back and Joel 2:25 will become the blessing for us all. He will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Come back. Come back. Come back. And worship. Pros. Come on. Come towards. Kunio. So love, so desire. Lift your lips to kiss his hand. lift your lips to serve your Savior. Worship. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before Him, His glories proclaim. It's your life that becomes incense, a sweet smell to God. Make sure that your life is incense, a sweet smell to God, not nonsense that only stinks. Let's worship. Please bow your heads. Putting Jesus first is easier said than done. Putting all the things of this world that people worship all the time and feel it's legitimate to do so to one side is also easier said than done. But this morning I'm going to challenge you. Will you so this morning say to Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, look here, I want to worship. I really do want to come to you. I do want to so love you that I want to kiss your hand. Even if I can't kiss your hand, I want to so come to you that my lips express my love for you. I want to start again. I want to start again. And I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I want my worship to guide and direct my life. I won't be a sun worshiper before I'm a Jesus worshiper. And I won't be an anything else worshiper before I'm a Jesus worshiper. This morning I determined to put Jesus first. If you feel that way, would you please stand with me? Because I'd like to put Jesus first, of course I would. And if you would like to put Jesus first and declare him as number one in your life, just join with me. Because I'd love to pray a prayer that God would touch you, bless you, and that the miracle of his love will cause your life to be a river of love to others. Lord Jesus, this morning I thank you for men and women standing before you. And they do so knowing that they are very human and can easily fail. But also standing before you because they know that you are not going to fail. And so we call upon you to change our hearts, that we can then come forward with confidence. And we're asking you to so fill us with love, that first we want to love you with everything and be changed by you so that we can become a river of love to those around us. Lord, worship is not the songs we sing. It's the heart from which we sing those songs. Worship is not the prayers we bring. It is the surrender of ourselves to the fulfillment of those prayers. Worship is us coming to you that we may be changed, and then coming away from you that we may bless and help and change the lives of those around us. Oh God, help us not to be shallow Sunday sun worshippers. Help us to be people who love you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, even in a snowstorm. God, help us to worship. Amen. The Lord bless you. Worship the Lord, and you will see heaven.